Now, we've got some more good news for you now, because BBC Tees understands this evening that the return of steelmaking to Teesside is imminent. It looks like the finishing line could finally be in sight. Our reporter David McMillan joins me now. So, David, just how close are we finally to seeing that blast furnace being relit?
Well, Mike, as you said, the finishing line is in sight. And as we can see, if we look at this copy of the SSI UK newspaper, they've got a handy picture of a finishing line on a running track saying the finishing line is in sight. But yes, it's getting very, very close now. I've been over to Steelhouse this afternoon, and SSI UK are on track to meet their aim of restarting steelmaking early in March. Now, there's no specific date at the moment, but it's likely that the first iron will be poured in the next fortnight. The first steel will follow a couple of days later. It will be taken from the blast furnace and be treated in the Boss plant, and then it will be made into slab, and then it will become steel two or three days later after the first pour. I understand the Boss plant and the power station and the sinter plant and the concast and all the other component parts of the steelmaking process are ready to go. There are final adjustments being made at the blast furnace, final checks to be done there as well. They had, of course, aimed for December the 8th. That proved too tough. They then aimed for January the 6th. They suffered difficulties with the weather, so they haven't set a specific date, but we hope to have that very soon. But it is looking imminent, probably within the next 2 weeks.
Oh, keep our fingers crossed. Now, we await the first steel, but clearly workers have been starting work there for many months now. How many people are actually on site?
Well, when the steelworks were mothballed, it was feared that more than 2,000 people would lose their jobs. The figure turned out not to be quite as high as that, but in the end, many, many people into the thousands lost their job. The eventual number of people left on site went away down to 750 during that mothball process. Now, though, as you say, the workforce has been coming back. It's been coming back for several months now. There are 1,800 workers now at the SSI UK plant. And that's not the end of the positive impact, because also contractors have been working on the site. So there are 600 contractors there now, but at its peak, 1,100 contractors had jobs on the site. And obviously, the impact of the jobs going originally isn't just felt by the people who lose their own income, but they then can't reinvest that income into the local community. So hopefully there'll be what's usually described as a kind of feel-good factor being regenerated so they can spend more of the money in shops and businesses in Redcar, and they then hopefully can employ more people as well, and everyone gets an economic boost in the area.
It's a win-win. Now, indeed. Obviously, we're waiting for the first steel. So remind us what will happen when Teesside Steel, when it arrives in Thailand.
Well, in short, SSI UK makes it, and SSI Thailand shapes it. I come up with a handy little...
they'll steal that from you.
It's nearly a rhyme. Not quite. But what happens, of course, is that the raw materials are fed into the blast furnace on Teesside. That then, as we sort of explained earlier, becomes iron, take it to the Boss plant, it becomes steel, and it gets shipped out to Thailand. Now, over there, they have a strip mill, a plate mill, and a rolling mill. Well, that will turn the basic slab into coil plates, bars, rods, and basically any shape that the SSI's customer needs. So much of SSI steel is actually used in the car industry. So if you happen to go to Thailand on your holidays in the next couple of years and you hail a cab, you could be sitting in a taxi, which is made using steel made here on Teesside. And there is an interesting point that I've also found in my handy copy of the SSI UK newspaper, which I very much enjoyed reading. It plots the route that the steel will take when it actually leaves the wharf at Teesside. So it was 50,000 tonnes will be shipped by boat at first. It will sail past the coast of Portugal, skirt through the Canary Islands and the Cape Verde Islands, down to the Cape of Good Hope on the southern tip of Africa, then back up past Madagascar, through the Strait of Malacca, through Indonesia, and into Prachuap Kiri Khan in Thailand. Now, you might think, Mike, no doubt you'll be thinking, why not just skirt up through the Mediterranean and go through the Suez Canal? Well, piracy off the coast of Somalia has made that route too dangerous and expensive to insure, so it's going to be a 50-day round trip instead for the Teesside Steel.
Blimey. Well, we'll keep a close eye on that story. David, thanks for finding out that for us this afternoon. We've got a spare space, you know, for a newspaper editor one day each week. We'll perhaps get the editor of the SSI UK News on.
It's a fine publication. It's got its own Sudoku. I mean, it's it's a proper newspaper. It's got its Sudoku. It's got a little bit of going to Thailand for your Valentine's Day, so there's holiday advice. There's even sport. Some identical twins won a league. Some identical twin girls won one of the Teesside football leagues as well. The only thing it lacks is some horoscopes.
There you go.
Mystic Mike for the SSI UK News. That's
give it
what
to, I'm on the job already.